We left off around verse number 11, taking a look at this word vain, going over to the Scriptures and the Lord speaking there about the attitude of seemingly that was prevalent there in Israel, and He gave great warning about that. The word reka that we find in the New Testament there in Matthew talked about that, and how the Lord, how at that time that the Lord, and during the Lord's ministry, the teaching of the teachers, the rabbis, the masters taught about a thing being estimated at this level, and then the Lord brought that back into perspective. He said, "Not murder, but if you're angry with your brother without a cause, you're guilty of what you think that you are with murder." And so then He kind of ratcheted things up there, and very interesting. The Lord does that in the Sermon on the Mount. In verse number 12. The Scripture says here in Proverbs chapter 12, "The wicked desireth the net of evil men." That's what wicked, you got a new way to rook somebody or to hurt somebody or to gain advantage over the weak or the innocent. "But the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit." Remember what we saw in verse number 3 there about a man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. There would be a study. I don't know if there's other occurrences of that root of the righteous. "But the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit." In regards to the wicked desiring the net of evil men, thought of Ecclesiastes 7:29, Solomon writes, "Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright." He did. He made man upright, innocent, as Brother Doug has mentioned in his Sunday school class. I believe that was the state of man, of Adam and Eve, when the Lord created them. He made them innocent. And, you know, one day when we have our new bodies and we have the mind of Christ, And everything sin-wise is gone from us, we'll be bulletproof to sin. Won't it be something to live on the earth for 1,000 years amongst the heathen, those that are without Christ, to be able to live amongst them and not be tempted to sin? Won't that be something? I mean, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. And so he said, "This have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they, mankind, have sought out many inventions." Inventions for wickedness. Oh, may God cause us, and that we might be children in that way of wickedness. Remember what the Lord said in Matthew 5 about there in the Beatitudes. He says, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness." What's it say? Do you remember the rest of it? They'll be filled. You know, we'll be filled if we desire righteousness, we desire the truth, the righteousness of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If we desire that, one day we will be filled with it. We'll be able to enjoy that continually. Verse 13, "The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips. His mouth will get him in trouble, but the just shall come out of trouble." And indeed we will. The saved, our ultimate end is out of trouble. We'll be delivered from this world and sin and wickedness and everything that abounds now. Verse 14, "A man shall be satisfied with with good by the fruit of his mouth." Does mine and your mouths, do our mouths yield good, peaceable fruit? Is that the case? "A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him." Solomon gives a warning to young people. He says, "Do what seems right." I'm paraphrasing. "But remember, you're going to stand before the judge." You're going to stand before the judge. Relative to this about the fruit of one's mouth, let's turn over here quickly to Matthew chapter 15. Let's read a few scriptures over here relative to this. And just a reminder about this and the Lord dealing with us, you that are here and not saved, dealing with you out of the Word of God to show us what the problem is. We've got a heart problem naturally. That's where it's all at. As the one brother said, the factory of sin. That's what our problem is. That's what we need help and healing from. In Matthew chapter 15, verse number 1, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? And for they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" Watch out with tradition. Watch out with the practice that we've held to. Make sure that it's not in contradiction to the Word of God. Today was Ash Wednesday. It snuck up on me. I hope it snuck up on you. And Catholicism, Universalism, they pursue after that the burning of palm leaves and such as that. And I told my first exposure to that when I was nigh but a child in St. Louis and saw somebody that had dirt on their forehead at the Quick Mart or something like that. I'm wiping on it and that. But that is an artifact of paganism. That's what it is. It's an artifact of paganism. The Lord tells us to stay away from those things. Do you realize that there's Baptist, so-called Baptist churches now that follow after those things? Go in. I guess the pastor would do it to you. And you'd put that little dot of ash on your forehead and you've gone to Mass. That's what Catholics do. They go to Mass and then they get the ashes put on their forehead and some of those organizations, churches, groups, they follow after that too. You know, listen, we have the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the end of everything. We've got the Word of God. We've got the ordinances in the church. And that's what we have to serve the Lord. We don't need artifacts. We don't need anything to help us serve the Lord. All we need to help us serve the Lord is the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Amen? Worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so, here, he says here, you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition. Watch out for tradition. Make sure it's backed up by the Word of God. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited me. It was a way out. They promised it to the upkeep of the temple or the priesthood or whatever, and said, hey, Mom, Dad, I don't have any money, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. So he gave them an example. There were others. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. How far is your heart from the Lord? How far is our hearts? Are our hearts from the Lord? May God help us that we claim to be the children of God, saved. Do you talk to the Lord? Do you fellowship with Him? Do you bring Him your troubles and then praise Him for His blessings and ask Him questions about the Word of God that you listen to or read? Got questions about the messages? I can understand you have a lot of questions about my messages. But you know, taking those things to the Lord, well, what's this mean? Lord, I got this issue in my life. Help me with that. Help me see the solution. Lord, help me to see the sin in my life. I might put that out of my life and walk closer to you. Fellowship with the Lord? Or we just fellowship with the Lord when we come to services? You know, how far away is our heart? He said, their heart is far from me. But in vain, verse 9, they do worship me, teaching for the teaching of God, the commandments of men. Look out. And he called the multitude and said to them, hear and understand, not that which goeth in the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. What comes up out? The mouth is symptomatic. What the mouth yields is symptomatic of the heart. He goes on to say it. And then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? That his disciples said, don't you know it bugged them? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. You know, salvation's of the Lord. And sinner friend, you need the Lord. Bottom line. There's no other way but by Him. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. Wow, that's a big statement of the Lord, isn't it? And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Aren't you glad He didn't leave him there? The Lord doesn't leave us there. He may rebuke us. He may chide us. He may reprove us. Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever enteth into the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. Have you had a heart transplant? Have you been saved? Talk about the old man and the new man Sunday. Is the old man in control? Is he rising up and that's what's coming out of the mouth? Or is the new man there? No. What we eat doesn't defile us. Not eating with dirty hands. I like eating with clean hands. Sometimes I've been pretty hungry and out working, not able to wash my hands, and was more hungry than I was worried about my hands. All right, but that didn't defile me, okay? And Lord's not saying don't follow good hygiene, but understand these spiritual things. It's about the heart. Those things that proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Verse number 19, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. You know, our wickedness, our sin, it starts in the heart, doesn't it? It starts inside. Never a thing done without first thinking about it. In Matthew chapter 12, quickly over here, in verse number 34, familiar passages, I trust. Old generation of vipers, Matthew 12:34. Old generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. How's your treasure? Is it good treasure? It'll bring forth good things. And out of the and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Oh my! Got a note here in the side of my margin that says, the peril of an empty heart. The peril of an empty heart. Verse 36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. So don't speak idly. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words shalt thou shalt be condemned. So, fruit of the mouth, there in Proverbs 12:14, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, the blessing of the Lord, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. Back there in Proverbs 12, verse number 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, right? We saw a little bit about that earlier in this chapter. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. The fool says, I got it all together. I know everything. Kind of like it was when we were when we hit 16, 17, 18 years old, we got it all. We don't have hardly a penny to our name. Don't have enough to be able to keep ourselves up. but we got it. We got it all figured out. You know, I've said that to some young folks. Said, well, you know, it's you think that you're all wise, you start supporting yourself tomorrow. A little bit of coughing, chugging, carrying on. Maybe not as wise as we think so. He says here, way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Listen, learn. Learn from others. Learn from others. Why be one that just strictly learns from experience? Personal experience. Experience is the best teacher. No, it's not. We do learn some lessons by experience. But you know what? It's best and easiest to learn from the experience of others. Okay? And so look on. And don't look down on people, but estimate things right by the Word of God. And it's better to learn from the counsel of the Lord. It always is. Learning from the counsel of the Lord, learning by the experience of others, will save one a lot of grief. In verse number 16, a fool's wrath is presently known. That's interesting, isn't it? A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. Well, I got an opinion about that. A fool, when he becomes angry, will run his mouth to everyone, his or her mouth to everyone. Well, that's what a fool does. They become angry. They've been wrong. They've been offended. Whatever the issue is, when they become angry, they'll run their mouth to everyone. But a man prudent that has been angered. Because it can happen that a man that's saved be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. We need to, but it can be that we can be angered. But what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? You know what? The best thing we can do when somebody angers us, if we're angered about something, we need to pray for the one that angered us. If someone does something that angers us, we need to pray for them. You know, it's hard to be angry at somebody when you're praying for them. We need to be pitiful, and I don't mean that in a condescending way. I don't mean that in a we are better than they kind of way. But if we are angered by someone, we need to pray for them. We don't need to harbor that. We don't need to let that turn into bitterness. We don't need to let that go turn into wrath. But a fool, when he becomes angry, will run his mouth to everyone. But a man prudent that has been angered, offended, or witnessed an offense, will seek the right thing to do from the Lord. Hear that? That's what a prudent man will do. He'll take the issue to the Lord. He'll take it to the Lord. He'll take the Word of God. He will be quiet until there is something right to say or pursue. He will seek to deal with the matter in a godly way, rather than stir up those like him with the publishing of the matter. I know that's a pile of words. Let me read it again. A fool, when he becomes angry, will run his mouth to everyone, but a man prudent that has been angered, offended, or has witnessed an offense will seek the right thing to do from the Lord. He will be quiet until there is something right to say or pursue. He will seek to deal with the matter in a godly way rather than stir up those like he with the publishing of the matter. Listen, a fool's wrath is presently known. When he gets cranked, everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. Because he's telling. But a man prudent, a woman prudent, a child of God following after the directive of the Lord will take the thing to the Lord and then seek to do the right thing. And then seek to speak or to do in a way that be pleasing to the Lord. We saw it in the last chapter. Look over here in Proverbs 11:13. The wicked is snared. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. Get the right verse. A talebearer revealeth secrets. Don't be a talebearer. We don't have to tell everything that we know. And when we do tell, we need to seek the betterment of the situation, not the spreading of gossip. If we just tell the tale for the sake of conveying information that's not needed or for the benefit of seeking the help of others, then we are a talebearer. And God doesn't like us being talebearers. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Doesn't mean covering up sin. Okay? Doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean being inordinate towards sin. It doesn't mean that. But it means being right, being tactful, being pleasing to the Lord, standing in the truth. In verse number 17 of chapter 12, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness. Speak the truth, show forth righteousness. The Lord in John chapter 8, remember about those that said that they believed. And he says, well, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Knowledge of the truth. We're talking about the truth, not what truth as we define it, and as mankind defines it, but the Lord's truth will set us free. It will. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. You know, our as an example, our country is we've got the leadership that we deserve. And is there a man that is interested in some truth rather than being interested in just keeping their office? You know, they come in, I'm going to wax a little bit political here, but not too much. Men that come into office and they don't have their net worth as what it is, as would be common for whatever their profession is, and then leave millionaires. Something is wrong with that. Something is wrong with that. May God help us. May God be merciful to give us some statesmen rather than politicians. And they stand up for the truth and say what the truth and stand in the truth and legislate by the truth, rather than just working to keep their position and being swallowed up by the mess that it is. It'll take the grace of God for them to do so indeed. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness. May there be some that will show forth righteousness. May we, as the Lord's people, show forth righteousness. But a false witness, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness showeth forth deceit, a liar. False witness. Don't bear false witness. The worst kind of lying is lying on another. When somebody else can be sacrificed for the benefit of self. And so, well, I'm going to sell them out. May God help. May the Lord help. May we stand in the truth. May God help us in that. Verse 18. Listen to this. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. Words from the mouth is like the piercing of a sword. Okay? Now, I think the context of this is that part is in the negative, because the latter part is this, but the tongue of the wise is health. Okay? And so I think that is to hurtful words. You know, saying the right thing in a right way. We can say the right thing in a wrong way. We need to say the right thing in a right way. And don't need to back up from it. But there is that which speaketh cruel in a cruel way, you know, in a unrighteous and sinful in a wicked way. We certainly don't need to be guilty of that. But then there is that aspect of it that, and so that in the context of the scripture, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. I believe that that's talking about, namely, about hurtful words. But then there is an aspect too about wise words from the Lord, wisdom from the Lord, that is can be in a good way. Proverbs 27:5, open rebuke is better than secret love. And see, that may cut. That may hurt. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. A friend, Sister Maud had to be cut on today. And it hurt her. When she gets past the anesthesia and all that, she'll tell you that it hurts. But it was necessary. So the doctor to help her, the surgeon to help her, had to cut on her. Well, the wounds of a friend are faithful because a friend wants good things for their friend. What's told, what I might need told to me may hurt, but my friend will desire a good thing for me. And maybe I need to be told some open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. In Proverbs 14:1, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Yeah, man, woman, I think either one. You know what? We can pluck it down with our mouth, too. We can pluck down our house with our mouth. Words that hurt. Words that pierce. And not the telling of the truth, but being mean and cruel. In Proverbs 25:15, by long forbearing is a prince persuaded. A counselor's there among the prince. Bringing up what the right thing is to do, prince doesn't want to hear it. Bringing up the right thing that needs to be done, prince doesn't. Bringing up the right thing that needs to be done, the prince listens a little bit. In the right way, in a good way. Telling the right thing, still standing in the truth. By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Hear that? A soft tongue breaketh the bone. You know, so we naturally feel that when we get loud, and I'm a loud person. I'm naturally loud. But you know, loud's not always the best. Sometimes soft is best. Sometimes soft will break the bone. You know, it just gets down there. It hurts. But if it's the truth, it's what we need. You know, the Lord deals with us that way, doesn't He? He does, doesn't He? And praise the Lord that He does. In Hebrews chapter 4:12, right, you know this, the Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. That's good. That's a good piercing, even. Piercing even to dividing asunder soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the reason men hate the Word of God or love the Word of God, because it flushes out the motive. Flushes out the motive. When I am getting sideways with the Lord, getting cranky with the Lord, getting disobedient to the Lord, last thing I want to hear is what the Bible says. Because it bugs me. It hurts me. It cuts me. It convicts me. It condemns me. I can get my heart right with the Lord, repent of my sin, repent of my error and my wickedness. Word of God, soothing, isn't it? Helpful. Open that thing up. Open that Bible up with just expectation to read it, and then the Lord pours out a blessing. I wasn't even expecting it. But read that, you know, and the Lord just work on us and, boy, just tear us up. When I say that most of the time, I mean it in a good way. It just tears us up about something going on in our life, something that we're dealing with, or just showing us something that we haven't seen before. And just bless our soul. Good, good Word of God. The Word of God is quick in that way. Verse number 19, the lip of truth shall be established forever. We want a lip of truth, but a lying tongue is but for a moment, right? Life may be for us 80 years, 85 years, 90 years. Maybe we live to be 100. What's that to eternity? What's that to eternity? It's just like a shadow, isn't it? Right? It's just like some vapor off of some boiling water out of a kettle. It appears for a moment just like grass. It's been cut down. It's there, kind of in the way. Next day, it's gone. Forget about it. Verse 20, deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. Deceit's in the heart of them that are thinking. Remember, I read to you in Ecclesiastes about God making man upright. He sought out many wicked inventions. But to the counselors of peace is joy. The Lord said in the Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. He's made peace through His Son for us. The counselors of peace is joy. The Lord rejoices in the salvation of sinners. Isn't that something? We rejoice in the salvation of sinners, don't we? We should, yeah. We should rejoice in the coming back of those who have been wayward. Amen? The elder brother wasn't, though, was he? Remember the prodigal son? Spent all of it, took his living and spent it all and then wasted it and then came back and the elder brother was hard towards him. Peacemakers. Peacemakers. A lip of truth. I'm sorry, the deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. Enjoy peace, especially enjoy the peace between men and God. Verse 21, there shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief or bad calamity. No evil happen to the just. Again, our light affliction that the apostle talks about. When we're over on the other side, when we're there with the Lord. Verse 22, lying lips are abomination to the Lord. Lying lips. He loves the lip of truth. And the only way that that lip's got some truth is from Him. But lying lips are hated by the Lord. He hates those lips. That's what it says. And again, don't get upset about that word hatred. Because see, it's the same thing as that word enmity that is there that the Lord promised between Satan and the Son of Man. Hatred, enmity, or enemy. Okay? Understand that. An enemy is one that's against another. And lying lips are against the Lord. Lying lips are the enemy of the Lord. Okay? Think about that. And we don't want it to be so, but sometimes we have enemies. Sometimes it would be that our family would have an enemy. It would be. Those that are perverse and in our day, sodomites and lesbians and such as that, they are an enemy to our children, our family. They need to be saved. I desire for them to be saved, but they want to recruit. They can't have any of their own. Read the other day in Florida, may God help us, may the Lord have mercy on us. A judge okayed that two women and one man to be put on the birth certificate of a child. Because these lesbian women wanted to have a child. This man was the donor. And so now it's a three-way parenthood. Wickedness. Wickedness before God. And that is an abomination to the Lord. The lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. The truth, the truth, the truth that sets us free. That word abomination is talking about being disgustingly in a moral way. Idolatry, putting that, anything that is idolatrous is something between God and the individual. They put their own way. Mankind puts his own way and his own heart between him and the Lord. The man in his natural state sets himself up as an idol between him and the Lord. And that's the problem that man has. Remember what it says in Proverbs 6:16, these things does the Lord hate. Listen to this. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look. There's the look. He hates these things. They're an enemy. A proud look is an enemy of God. Enmity with God. A lying tongue, as we read here. And hands that shed innocent blood. Hands that shed innocent blood are an enemy of God. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, the Lord hates. Feet that are swift to the shedding of blood, feet that are swift to the running of mischief, and a false witness, the testimony that speaketh lies. And then that seventh one, and he that soweth discord among brethren is an enemy of God. He hates those six things. Yea, the seven are an abomination to him. And may the Lord help us that we avoid any of those things at all costs. Verse number 23, a prudent man, a cunning man, a crafty man, in a good sense, concealeth knowledge. But the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. Well, wait a minute, Brother Jim. Knowledge is not to be concealed. Well, that word concealed, in the way we think about it, speaks of hiding. I'm going to conceal this from you. You can't see my hand. No, it's what that word concealing is talking about is that he's filled up with it. He abounds in it. A prudent man concealeth knowledge. He has he's plump with it. Or the definition of that word concealeth is to fill up the hollows. Okay, it comes from the root word that means to grow fat. A prudent man is growing fat. He's plumped up, not with good cooking, but with knowledge. A prudent man concealeth knowledge. He's got it in him. But the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. And that follows right in line with things that we've seen. Verse number 24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. May the Lord help that we participate in the government that we have been blessed with. We've got a responsibility in that. Caesar is different in our country than it is in other countries. We've got a responsibility in that. Let us not be slothful in it. The last election, the president, the incumbent that won by 3 million and some votes. And according to the numbers that are published, there were 3 million less votes this election than were last election. If you're able to vote and didn't vote, shame on you. You should have. Because this was be the election that was the turning point. And yes, I know the Lord's in control. Why is our president in that office today? It's because God ordained it to be. But you know what? You and I have got a responsibility. We have a responsibility. We've been given a privilege and a blessing. And we are to abide by that. And then follow that. That is to be a good steward of what the Lord's given us in this country. And so, again, he won by 3 million and some odd votes. But from this election to the previous election, there were 3 million less that voted. Terrible. Terrible. May God help us. We deserve him. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. And there's talk of that indeed. Verse 25, heaviness is in the heart. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. I was thinking the other day, there was somebody I was talking about, or today I guess it was, you know, in Proverbs 13, the next chapter we'll be looking at, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Heaviness in the heart makes us stoop. You know, we're emotional creatures. We are. We can't separate that from us. But you know what? If we'll put our heart and our focus on the good things of God, we'll have joy in the Lord, not circumstantial happiness. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one. And unfortunately, it will surprise you. And I'm not talking about the unfortunate of the Lord blessing us, but the unfortunate part of my doubt. And it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Amen? Count our blessings. When I get to Molly Grubbs, look like a mule eating briars. I need to count my blessings. Amen? We've been blessed with so much. And spiritual blessings, the blessing of our family, the blessing of our church, the blessing of our country, and the hard... But I mean, there's no better country to live in than this country. And provision that the Lord's given us. A good word maketh it glad. Sometimes we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Verse 26, the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. Hear that there? Oh, don't open yourself up to be seduced. May God help us that we not open ourselves up to be seduced by the wicked way. The media is just terrible. May God help us. You know, there's nothing, the television, monitors, computers, technology, none of that is inherently evil. None of it is an evil in and of itself. It's what we tune in on it. And it will... What we tune in on it will take over our thinking. It will. It will. Before we even know it. May God help us. Brother Mark, some time ago, talked about culture rot. And that's what comes across from the media of the world is going to lend itself to culture rot. And then the next thing you know, we'll be believing that wickedness is good and good is wicked. Right? You know, in James it says, every man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Again, that heart is the issue. The slothful man roasteth not which he took in honey. We saw that kind of a parallel reference to that in verse number 10. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. You know, we should not kill... I don't believe we should, as being a poor steward, to kill animals that aren't going to be used. There are those that will just shoot animals, you know, that are good game. Now, I was talking about the other day, I think Brother Nicky and I were talking about alligator gar in the Missouri and Mississippi River. They need to be killed, okay? They eat fish, all right? They don't belong there in the first place, okay? That's a thing of, well, the poor alligator gar didn't do anything. Well, we're to have dominion over the earth. And some of our predecessors messed it up, and so if we can fix it, we need to fix it. Okay, and so we need to watch all the things. Good steward, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. We're to take what the Lord's blessed us with, not put it before the Lord, but regard it well. Be a good steward. That balance of being a good steward, but not taking it and making it an idol. We work on that, but we need to do so. Regard it in the right way. Verse 28, I like it where these verses at the end of the chapters, they wrap up, many times they've wrapped up with a consideration of salvation, okay? The way of righteousness is life. The way of righteousness is life. And in the pathway thereof, there is no death. Boy, you could jump on a handful of messages from that passage, couldn't you? And the way of righteousness. And the way of righteousness is life. Or what did Jesus say? I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And the way of righteousness is life. And in the pathway thereof, in that way, there is no death. To Martha, we saw it Sunday in John 11:25. Jesus said unto her, I'm the resurrection, right? Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, how can that be? Well, alive in Christ, salvation of the soul. Yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Huh? Do you believe that? Amen, I do. Hey, and it's answered in Christ, because of Christ. In John 21, 22, to Peter, the Lord says, Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he, speaking of John, tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Hear that? Follow the Lord. Follow me. In the way of righteousness is life. Jesus is the way. Follow Him on the way. Follow the Lord. Walk on the way that is Christ. Follow Him. And children are to be obedient to their parents and to honor them indeed. But you know what? It comes down in life that you and the Lord need to reckon your situation. Because mom and daddy don't have anything to do with it. When you come of age and you become an adult, every soul gives accountability before God. And how do you stand before the Lord? Do you claim yourself? Are you afraid of God? Or do you see Christ, precious salvation of your soul? The condemnation of the Lord telling the truth, does that hurt you and trouble you? Well, the truth at the onset should. But see, the Lord just doesn't leave it to where He condemns and shows your guilt and your wickedness and your sin, but He shows Christ also. See, He doesn't leave the sinner there, if you will, but He shows the answer in His Son. And His Son is the way. Follow Him. Repent of your sins. In simple childlike faith, repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, His gospel, His death, His burial, His resurrection. You know, it's good to be on the way of life, the way of righteousness, isn't it? That way that is Christ. I'm so thankful for it. I tell you what, if it wasn't for the salvation of the Lord, no telling where I'd be. But I thank the Lord He visited me and saved my soul. May the Lord help and bless His Word.